Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us for the first time in 2014 on Queensbury Rules Radio. I'm Patrick Connor of QueensburyRules.com, and also here with me, of course, is James Foley of Bad Left Hook. James.
Mr. Connor, happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you, my friend. How's your new year going so far?
It's great, man. Best year of my life.
I'm glad to hear it.
It's like, it warmed up today. It's up to negative two, so it's really nice and just having a great time.
Straight up tropical over there. I like it. I'm not going to lie to you. It's like 70-something degrees here in San Diego.
That's nice.
Sorry, rest of the nation. But that's why we're here.
Yeah, I don't know why I stay here, but...
Yeah, and damn. Yeah, I keep hearing about this shit. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I see snow, like, every few years, and I drive, like, an hour, you know, just to kind of see it and hang out for a little while, and then we're like, okay, fuck this. We're here for an half hour. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, it's cool when it's snowing out. I mean, I think, it looks cool and all that stuff. It's more so, like, once that ends, and then it's just frozen for 2 months.
Yeah, I'm good on that shit.
What can we do?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to stay right here in San Diego. But, dude, I'm kind of nervous because I need to ask you something. Did you watch Friday Night Fights?
I did. How could I not, man? The season premiere?
Wowzers.
And I don't remember anything from it, but I did watch it.
Well, it's a start. We got to start somewhere.
Yeah, I thought it was a good show on paper, so I wanted to check it out. I actually had a pretty good main event with Barthelemy and Mendez. So yeah, I did catch it. But you know what sucks is like the one time I usually just record anything like that I'm watching. But it was the one time that I was watching it on the TV where I don't have DVR for some stupid reason, and I turned away like right before, I think in between the first and second round, or the second and third round, whichever round that it ended, I'd flipped away because I was watching the end of the Rockets game, and when I came back it was over. So I saw the replays of what happened, but I didn't actually like see that live. But
What did you think going in? Like, did you lean a certain way? I'm sure you probably didn't put, weeks of thought into it or anything like that. But, yeah, it was a pretty interesting, type of fight on paper going in. So I had to think
a
little bit
before picking.
And a belt
at 130, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I thought that it was probably going to be a pretty evenly matched fight going in. I don't know. I didn't take a ton of time to ponder it, but whatever.
It seems close. I mean, I think Mendez had that awesome knockout on HBO Latino last year. Is that right? Where it was that one show that they did that it was on HBO Latino, but it wasn't on regular HBO. And he knocked out Salgado, the other guy.
Yeah.
Who was a pretty good fighter. So that was impressive. And then, of course, Barthelemy is like the Cuban, decorated Cuban amateur, but hadn't really looked as good as, obviously the other guys who have advanced into, being real world-class pros. And he went back and forth with that Arash Usmani on the season premiere of Friday Night Fights last year. Or maybe it wasn't the premiere, but one of the really early shows last year. And that was my only real memory of it. And he hadn't looked, he didn't look great. I mean, you could see in spots that he was really talented, but he really got outfought and was lucky to come away. I think he got the decision or it was a draw. Can't remember. But going in, I mean, I guess I was kind of thinking Mendez might be favored. But obviously, Barthelemy, from what I saw, pretty clearly dominated the action and, looked like he was on his way to knocking him out before you know, he hit, actually the final blow came after the bell.
Yeah, you know, I thought that Mendez going in was probably going to be able to, you know, move around a little bit better and counter well, but apparently he just, it almost just seemed like he wasn't really in Barthelemy's class. I don't know. I didn't really expect that personally. I thought that it was going to be a, you know, a closer type of fight, but yeah, that didn't really happen.
Yeah, I didn't think
yeah,
it was.
And I agree. Well, I agree. I was just going to say, I agree that he was looked surely being, you know, to on his way to knocking him out before the kind of questionable call happened. But it's kind of weird for me going over that type of stuff because I feel bad for just about everybody involved except for the referee, of course. But I feel bad for Barthelemy because he might have, you know, gotten kind of robbed of a clean win there. And I feel bad for Mendez because I think that the replay showed it was very clearly a punch, well, a couple punches after the bell. I don't know what the fuck the timekeeper was doing, ringing the bell and then like 10 seconds later ringing another bell. I feel bad for those guys because that was kind of a shitty way for it all to end.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. It's hard for me to get muster too much outrage about it, you know, because, you know, now they'll probably be, a forced rematch and Mendez will have a chance. You know, maybe they'll even overturn it and make it a no decision and then Mendez will get to keep his belt. But, you know, the thing is, if it wasn't one of these, like, kind of phony, you know, sanctioned belts at stake here, it really wouldn't matter the way that it ended as far as the official win-loss record, you know, because we all saw what happened. And, you know, like you said, I mean, Barthelemy did look like he was outclassing Mendez and obviously had him hurt. And I didn't remember Barthelemy having that kind of power, but, you know, all those guys, not to generalize here, yeah, all those damn Cubans, they're all pretty good punchers, you know, like Lara and Rigondeaux.
I think Matt Swain got you with the Mexican talk on the last show.
yeah, probably. From now on, it's just ethnic generalizations.
Let's do it.
But I guess it's just like the pedigree, having that boxing background. They're just really accurate punchers, and that makes them more powerful. And, you know, I think it was a great showing for Barthelemy. I mean, they'll probably do a rematch, but if they don't, you know, he becomes an intriguing opponent when you start looking at 130 and. Right now, it's kind of like Mikey Garcia looks like the best fighter there. But,
well,
you know, there's not a whole lot else, at least that we see on, you know, HBO and Showtime here.
Yeah, and on top of that, I think that Barthelemy probably has a type of style where it's just awkward enough and just difficult enough that I'm not sure that he's going to have a whole lot of opponents to choose from, you know, a whole lot of guys knocking down his door to fight him. But I don't want to make a whole thing out of the whole, you know, knockout and how it went and, you know, timing it out and going frame by frame and that type of shit. But I did think that it kind of raised an interesting discussion because I saw a lot of people talking about how the ref should have stepped in quicker. You know, he needed to be ready there when the bell rang, et cetera, et cetera. It wouldn't have happened had the ref not blah, blah, blah. And it just kind of reminded me of, well, we talked about it on the last show, but Steve Smoker's kind of crappy last half of 2013, which included that late step-in against in Kirkland Tapia, where Kirkland was able to land an extra, I think it was two shots, and the last one was pretty vicious. So, in a situation like that, the consensus basically seems to be that, well, no, it's not the fighter's fault because, you know, he's in the heat of battle or he's in the midst of throwing or whatever the case may be. And so it's the referee's responsibility to step in and stop that. I just thought that it kind of raised that again, which was interesting. And, I mean, my question is, now, I don't want to, like, get all over Barthelemy's ass or anything, but does that kind of, like, absolve him from potentially hearing the bell and then just continuing to throw and throw hard?
No, I mean, it's kind of a good, you know, it's kind of like a good faith thing, right? Like, the rules shouldn't be like, oh, the fighter, you can just keep punching until the referee jumps in and stops you, even if you, you know, I mean, the rule's kind of like, you know, if you hear the bell, you're kind of supposed to stop fighting, but then the referee should be right there to make sure that that happens. But in this case, you know, it was so quick. I don't know if, like, you could say that Barthelemy wasn't, you know, already kind of in the motion of throwing those punches or whatever. I mean, I don't know if he doesn't – if he deserves that much blame. I mean, in my eyes, you know, it should have been, like, an accidental foul, and so it would have been, like, a no decision or no contest or whatever. But, you know, I think the referee obviously deserves some blame because – normally, you know, what happens, they click that 10-second count, and then the referee is usually tensed up, you know, knowing that the round is about to end. He kind of positions himself so that he can jump in as soon as the bell hits. And the replay that I remember, it looked like he was, like, kind of, you know, behind them a little bit or off to an angle, and obviously didn't get in there fast enough. But who knows? I mean, you know, he could have been standing closer, and it still might have happened. I mean, it just sucks that it happened, but... Yeah, I don't know if there's that much fault for the fighter.
Well, what makes it kind of strange overall, to me anyway, is that, you know, if they wind up taking that into some, you know, back room with a frame-by-frame analyzer and all this type of stuff, and they do determine that, yeah, the punch was after the bell because it was, but even if that is the case and they determine, well, they need to overturn it or whatever, I mean, do they give Argenis Mendez back his title and then kind of proceed from there, even though it really seemed like he was about to get knocked out by Francis Barthelemy and all this type of stuff? I don't know. It kind of opens
a
can of worms,
they give
the
title back.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, I'd be fine if nothing
it's
happens.
Kind of
yeah, I guess I'd be kind of fine with if nothing happened, even though it's not, you know, technically the right thing. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was a late shot, and there's always a chance that Mendez could have gone back in his corner if he hadn't been hit with those, and maybe he could have recovered and got back into the fight. So, yeah, technically, I mean, it probably should be overturned. But I don't know. From what I mean, I think the right man ended up with it, so I'm fine either way. I don't really, you know. I think they're probably going to do it.
That's the weird thing, is that it kind of feels like justice was served, but not really. It's weird.
By the letter of the law, it probably wasn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it just gives Teddy another reason to shit his pants on air, which he loves to do.
Well, and the simple
solution
is, you know, you have a rematch.
Yeah. I think that's probably the fairest thing to do. I'm obviously not going to favor Argenis Mendez.
Right, this time we'll be favoring Barthelemy.
Yeah, I think pretty heavily. Let's see, in the little...
Possibly betting our mortgages on it.
Oh, yeah, I think that's probably safe at this point. Caleb Truax, our good old buddy, the guy who made Jermaine Taylor go into a post-fight stupor.
The guy that Andre Ward ducked to fight Edwin Rodriguez.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Why didn't he fight Caleb Truax? Well, everybody saw exactly why on Friday. Because he'll bore the shit out of you. I'm kidding. Sorry, Caleb. I'm sure you're listening. That wasn't a very good fight. I expected more from that one, too.
Yeah, I was looking for more. And, again, I kind of, like, half-tuned it out at a certain point. Because it wasn't really... You know, I just kind of stopped caring once. It wasn't like an action fight, and neither of those guys really has much of a great, you know, ceiling anymore, or if ever. So, yeah, I mean, after the first five or six rounds, I was kind of like, I don't really care what happened. And I guess ended up being a draw.
You know, and I hear Teddy Atlas going, "No, don't go anywhere because this fight could explode at any moment." And I'm like, no, it can't. No, it won't. It's not going to stop saying that because they're just going to continue, you know, following each other around the ring.
Kind of disappointing for Truax, you have to think. I mean, being in his hometown and coming off the nice win over Donovan George, which, again, just seems so weird, you know. I mean, because Truax was kind of establishing himself as, you know, if nothing else, you know, a tough guy in the division, and had, you know, the beating George was kind of, you know, an upset, and you know, even the dilapidated Jermaine Taylor to, you know, knock him down and give him a decent fight. I mean, a guy who was considered just kind of a local a local journeyman in, you know, in Truex. I mean, you know, he did some things. I mean, this is kind of a setback. This has got to be a setback, right? I mean, because it wasn't even a good fight. If it was, you know, an awesome brawl, then who really cares what the result was? But it wasn't a good fight, and he draws against, you know, kind of a journeyman opponent who was clearly supposed to lose.
Yeah, no, it,
so
was,
it was a bad night for
yeah.
Truex. But
I think that, you know, what's his name? I think that I accidentally said Ossie Davis.
Ossie Davis.
Oh, shit. I think that I accidentally said that shit on Twitter. Whatever. Anyway, that's about right anyway. But I think that basically he was brought in to lose to Caleb Truax, and it very clearly it's not a good sign that in his hometown it was ruled a draw like that, because I think that that pretty much says that Aussie deserved that win. I don't know. I mean, I didn't really score it that closely myself, so when they scored it that way, it was like, yeah, that sounds about right. I didn't really have any argument either way. You know, people seemed to be scoring it a little bit more closely on Twitter. You know, it was the first boxing show of the year on, you know, a larger cable outlet or whatever. So I know everybody was excited
why,
about
this
it.
This is why I don't watch Friday.
Yeah. I was just about to say this is pretty much exactly the epitome of why Foley doesn't watch this shit.
No, I mean, it was, you know, I like seeing the local car, you know, that they go to in, you know, Minnesota. I mean, that was cool, but better than some weird, you know, casino somewhere and, you know, two foreign fighters fighting in front of, like, you know, 200 people. But the fights just didn't really deliver. I mean, ultimately, that's, you know, that's how it's got to be judged.
Yeah,
not that the main
the
event
day,
wasn't interesting,
yeah.
It just was kind of tarnished with the way that it ended.
Yeah, if we would have gotten a nice, like, gnarly knockout or something like that, you know, that would have been nice. But, well, fuck, since let's get away from this Friday night fight. So it was supposed to be when we ended 2013, when we got back, I think that we were both expecting that we would probably have a finalized opponent for both Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. And of course, for the last few weeks, they've been like, oh, well, wait for Saturday because we're going to reveal it Saturday, or wait for Monday because we're going to tell everybody Monday. And there's still no opponents finalized, but for at least Floyd, it seems to be that they're leaning towards either Amir Khan or Marcos Maidana. So, I don't even know, like, where to go with that, because I've already said that I don't really want to see Amir Khan in there, but the weird thing about it is that Amir Khan just stylistically might have a better chance at doing something early on than Marcos Maidana. I hate to say it because I love Marcos Maidana, but I don't know. What's your feeling on that?
Yeah, kind of the same feeling that I think, weirdly enough, that Khan might actually be a better opponent. But, you know, I don't really like either.
We're both fucking sick, aren't we? We both have colds and shit. This is horrible. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a cold. but, yeah, no, it just, you know, I don't like either of the two opponents, to be honest, because I just think when you're that guy and you're on the top of the sport and you're number one and you're, you know, you're supposedly the legitimate champion at 147, which is, like, debatable, and, you know, the legit champ at 154, which I think the Canelo fight, that was a, you know, justifiable unification, so I'm fine with that. But, you know, you're the guy and the money guy in the sport and the best fighter and all that stuff. I mean, you've got to have a high standard for the opponents that you're fighting, because it's not like Floyd's fighting like once a month or, you know, once every couple months. It's, you know, last year it was twice. Before that it was once a year for the last like 5 years. This year the plan is to fight twice. But it's just funny that now fighting twice, like, that's some great feat, you know, fighting two times, that, like, validates, like, whoa, one of the opponents doesn't have to be that good because I'm fighting twice. When guys in the past were fighting, you know, I mean, how many times did Leonard fight the year that he fought Hearns and you know, that it was like 10 times or something like that? And if you go back even further, it's more than that. So, like, I just think there should be a, you know, a reasonably high standard for the guys that he fights. And I don't think Maidana or Khan qualify. You know, the reasons against it are just, they're obvious. I mean, they've both of these guys have lost against, like, top, you know, lesser fighters than Mayweather in recent years. I mean, Khan has done nothing really to rebound from losing to Danny Garcia. And then even, you know, even though I thought he kind of got screwed against Lamont Peterson, and I didn't really think the point deduction was warranted at the end of that fight, and I thought that I actually had it scored for Khan even with those deductions. You know, he fought on even terms, basically, with Lamont Peterson, who's, you know, a very competent pro, but not really a world-class elite fighter. And then, of course, getting drilled by Danny Garcia. And he's done nothing to rebound from that. He hasn't beaten anyone close to that level, and he struggled, you know, went life and death with Julio Diaz, who's a career lightweight, whose best years were, you know, over 5 years ago. And, you know, he hasn't done anything to establish himself as a legitimate welterweight contender or even, you know, a pound-for-pound, you know, fringe type of fighter anymore. I mean, you know, I just think that Khan has done nothing. His last notable fight against, like, a really quality opponent around that weight class, he got knocked out in the fourth round. Now, with Maidana, you know, of course, yeah, he's on a nice run, and the Broner win was probably the best win of his career and, you know, great win and a great night for boxing because, you know, we really saw a fan favorite, a guy so easy to root for, beat, you know, a really unlikable guy in Adrian Broner, who everyone kind of wanted to see fail, and it happened, you know. So it was, yeah, it was a great night and all that. But Broner himself had not done anything at welterweight, really. I mean, in one fight where he, you know, got a clear decision, but a close decision against Paul Malignaggi. But that one fight, you know, I just don't think beating, if you look beyond that, you know, beating Broner, beating Soto Karas, beating Josecito Lopez, Maidana still, you know, in a credible ranking system is, you know, maybe the back end of the top 10 at 147. And, you know, in recent fights, basically shut out by Devin Alexander, had already lost to Amir Khan, you know, 2 years ago. And I'm not saying, like, losses disqualify you from fighting any. I'm not saying that at all. But it's just that, to me, you have to beat somebody who's proven, you know, at the level of the guys that beat you or avenge that those losses. And neither of these guys, to me, is really like a top welterweight contender or a top junior middleweight contender where Floyd is the lineal champion. So I just would prefer to see him fight somebody, you know, even Danny Garcia, who's done nothing at welterweight, at least has the claim of he's the, you know, legitimate junior welterweight champ. And he's undefeated. I mean, guys like Sean Porter, Keith Thurman, at least they haven't lost yet. I mean, there's like justifications for making those fights. I don't see Maidana. You're right, stylistically it's a bad matchup, but I just don't see either of these guys as like a real world-class opponent, and I think there are guys who fit that bill out there. But unfortunately, most of them are with Top Rank.
Yeah, in 2013, we saw that the whole quote-unquote Cold War, or whatever you want to call it, didn't really seem to be making, you know, much of a dent in our enjoyment of the matchups they're putting on. But now in 2014, we're already starting to see that it's limiting things. It's not only limiting, you know, potentially good matchups that are entertaining and blah, 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 but now, on top of that, we see that it's still hindering some of the fights that we may or may not have to see in order to know for sure who is the best at such and such weight or who is the best at blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I hope that that's not really the trend in 2014, but sooner or later these stables are going to thin out. You know, you can't just keep recycling guys over and over and over and over until, you know, well, I guess you can until everybody's all bought up in one stable or something, but I hope not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just sucks again because, you know, it's not like you look at that division, 147, and, you know, there's three other guys behind Mayweather who are arguably, you know, top 10 pound for pound right now. Now, he already fought Marquez, and that's fine. You know, I mean, it wasn't necessarily like the welterweight version of Marquez, who's, you know, looked better recently, although he just lost to Bradley. But, I mean, look, Mayweather already beat Marquez, and he gets credit for that, but you still got Bradley and Pacquiao at 147 right behind them. And I just think the gap between those four and then the next, who's the next guy at welterweight? I mean, is it even Marcus Maidana? You know, is it like Kell Brook, or is it somebody, you know, who is it? Whoever it is, the gap behind those four is significant. So, I mean, I'd love to see Mayweather fight Bradley. Obviously, you know, Mayweather-Pacquiao still be huge. And it does kind of suck that those can't happen. Because, like, I mean, I look at the Golden Boy stable, and I don't, there's just nobody there at 47 who can make that argument that they've beaten world-class guys and they deserve to be on that level. The only guys kind of around there would be like Lara at 154 or Danny Garcia at 140.
If the guys at 147 in the Golden Boy stable, to me, the feeling that I get looking at them is it seems as though they still kind of need to iron it out among themselves, you know, in order to determine who is the best in the bunch or who deserves to take on Floyd the most or whatever you want to, however you want to put it. So, I
agree
there. And especially if, I guess we can talk about this in a minute with Manny's opponent, but it kind of sounds as though Manny is going to be taking on Tim Bradley is in a rematch for that fight. I mean, nothing's been finalized and nobody's been leaking whatever to the press that I know of, but to me, that's a fight that probably makes the most sense for Manny. He's already said it to the press that he doesn't want to fight Ruslan Provodnikov and blah, blah, blah. So to me, that rematch makes sense. And if that rematch does happen, and if Tim Bradley winds up winning that fight too, especially if he wins it legitimately, yeah, that would be the fight that I would like to see Floyd Mayweather take, is Tim Bradley.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of ifs. You know, that's quite a few jumps, but still.
Well, I think wins that fight between Bradley and Pacquiao again becomes, like, the clear number one contender to Mayweather. Neither of them will have fought them before. I mean, when it was Marquez, it was okay to say, okay, well, Floyd already beat Marquez. You know, so, I mean, because when Marquez knocked out Pacquiao, I mean, there was some talk of, well, would you want to see Marquez have a rematch with Floyd? And, I mean, in a legitimate world or whatever, if this was like UFC, that fight would have happened because Marquez was the clear number two contender. So he would have earned his crack at, you know, the number one guy. But obviously this is boxing, you know. So, I mean, that's fine if, you know, the argument that, look, he already fought, he already beat him, we don't want to see a rematch. Fine, but whoever comes out of Pacquiao Bradley too, that guy hasn't fought him. And if he's the best guy in the division, you know, you kind of have to fight the number one contender. You should. I mean, am I crazy?
You know, fighters,
I'm not trying to dredge up.
Well, I'm just trying to point out that fighters can't change in rematches. You know, it never happens that like something different happens in a rematch. You know, so that's why. Well,
no.
And on top of that, Floyd would beat them all anyway. So why even fight him? You know, he should just retire and just call himself the best ever. Because it doesn't matter if he fought him, because he would have beaten them all anyway, James.
No, I hear you. I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to be all too
no,
hard.
No. It's, you know, it's just a common argument. And, these are the type of fights that we want and we kind of need in a way. And, yeah, hopefully this is not the year that it starts becoming very apparent that it's hurting more than helping.
Well, if anyone could kind of end that Cold War or, you know, bridge that gap, I mean, I think Floyd would be the guy who could do that. Because, like, if he really wanted to fight Bradley, then he could fight Bradley. You know, Top Rank has nothing to, you know, I mean, Bradley's not really a huge moneymaker. I mean, he's kind of increased his notoriety and everything like that. But, I mean, I'm sure they would take some kind of a flat fee to give him to, you know, Golden Boy to make Mayweather Bradley if Floyd really wanted that to happen. You know, so, I mean, he is the one guy who kind of deserves, you know, some criticism for his opponent. I mean, a guy like Danny Garcia, he can't just go and, you know, I want to fight Mike Alvarado or I want to fight Ruslan Provodnikov. You know, I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, because of the Cold War, because of the promotional stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, Floyd is kind of bigger than that. So he has the economic leverage to, you know, if he insisted on those fights happening, they would happen. I mean, whatever they have to work out, whether it's like just buying Top Rank out of it or whatever, you know, letting them be a small co-promoter, I mean, he could do it if he really wanted to. So I don't think he's insulated from, like, Cold War. Like, you can't criticize him because, oh, that can't happen because of Top Rank Golden Boy. I mean, he really kind of calls his own shots and hires Golden Boy on a fight-by-fight basis. So, you know, hopefully he would. I mean, I don't put it – I do still think that for all the criticism and the hard time, I mean, I do think that Floyd is extremely competitive and, you know, his ego, I mean, he does – I think in his heart, he does probably want to fight those guys just to shut people up and to prove that he's best. And I don't think it's a fear thing. I think it's just more about, like, he's not going to relinquish, you know – the power. He's not going to, like, give them what they want. You know, he doesn't want to work with
– exactly.
He still has, like, so much animosity towards Bob Arum and all those guys. But who knows? Maybe, you know, in a year or so – because I think if he does fight, you know, either Maidana or Khan and then fights kind of one of the more unknown Golden Boy, like, if you know, Keith Thurman or Sean Porter or Danny Garcia, if one of those, any of those guys, I mean, I think after a while the numbers are going to start going down. And it's not going to be, you know, 1.5 million pay-per-views. He's going to start falling into that same back to what he did against Guerrero. You know, because the Canelo event, and the fact it was so uncompetitive, that's going to hurt selling these future fights.
Well, I think that it's pretty clear at this point that Floyd's going to sell much better than other fighters, even if the fights aren't huge. You know, so it's a whole variety of factors, like, pretty much like you said. I think that, number one, there are going to be people who are going to buy those fights no matter what because they either really like Floyd or really want to see him lose. But then there's also going to be a chunk of people who were kind of testing it out before and willing to buy, hey, you know, maybe this will be competitive, but have just been kind of burned a few times in the last few years and aren't going to be wanting to, you know, buy it again. So, yeah, I agree that those kind of mid-range type of fights might not be delivering as much as they had hoped, and they better be looking for, you know, to make bigger fights if they're really looking for that type of money. So I hope they are.
Well, that may motivate him, you know, and especially somebody, like I was saying, I mean, if Bradley beats Pacquiao again, you know, again, officially, or, you know, more than just officially this time, if he actually does earn a clear win and you know, he would be a great opponent for Floyd. I mean, that's a fight you really could sell that fight, you know, and it could be not like Floyd Canelo, but it would be a lot bigger than any of the fights, you know, involving Floyd and the other Golden Boy guys. So, and it's, you know, and Bradley's price tag might be something that they could actually, like, work out. You know, you give Bradley $10 million or $15 million and maybe something like that happens, but I don't know. I mean, it's not going to happen this time around. So, yeah, we're probably going to get Mayweather-Khan, Mayweather-Maidana, and not excited for either of those, like we said, but, you know, I guess Khan has a little bit of speed and Maidana has power, and so who knows? Maybe something interesting could happen. Doubtful.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I would kind of doubt it in either case, although at the very least, I think I said pretty much something almost exactly like this on the last show, but if Maidana were to get it, we know that he would give everything he had. He wouldn't just come in there and, you know, shit the bed. He would try.
Well,
so,
we hope so. I mean, yeah, he would try, but, you know, we saw him trying against Devin Alexander, and, I mean, of course, yeah, he looked great against Broner. I don't know if he can bum rush Floyd and you know, catch him with those kind of punches. I mean, Floyd is just, there's reflexes and his quickness, and he's just smarter than Broner is. I mean, he's not going to stand in front of him and let that happen. And if he, you know, gets his timing down, and then it just could play out the same way that so many of his other fights have gone. I mean, because not just Devin Alexander used his kind of speed and footwork and just, you know, completely blew out Maidana, and you know, it was probably Maidana was having an off night, but I don't know. You know, even at his best, it's just really hard to see, you know, Maidana being able to do much against Floyd.
Yeah, if Adrian Broner is making videos of himself shitting money at Popeyes, Floyd's pretty much making videos of himself getting manicures and hand massages. That's pretty much the difference between those guys. So I think that that's probably about how the fight would play out, too. I think that Floyd's probably just a little too quick, a little too classy. There's always a chance because Maidana's kind of awkward and throws the punches from just kind of fucked up angles. But other than that, I think that Floyd, yeah, I think he'd probably control that fight. But if that's the option, well, give Maidana the chance, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Maidana would have a puncher's chance, and it is the kind of fight that I actually think among the hardcore boxing guys and stuff, I think the fight would kind of grow on them. I mean, because like Maidana's just such a fan favorite and such a great puncher and showing a lot of heart and is just really fun to watch. So, just the idea of him, I guess, having a puncher's chance against Floyd, a guy that you could really root for, I guess there would be some, early kind of suspense and tension just to see if he could land anything. So I think it's interesting in that sense, and it would give people, hope, I guess, who don't like Floyd and just want to see, see somebody upset the apple cart. But, that hope's been crushed every single time, so... I just don't know if Maidana is the guy to do it. I would expect to be disappointed,
I think I'm pretty much there with you. What do you think about Manny, though? What do you think as far as if Tim Bradley gets that shot? I mean, I kind of doubt that Ruslan Provodnikov is going to be stepping in there, but let's just assume for a moment it will be Bradley. If they do make that rematch, I mean – How would you call it?
I really don't know. I would have to slightly favor Pacquiao just because we've seen them before, and I don't think I really don't think Bradley fought that differently against Pacquiao as he did against Marquez. I think that really it's just the style worked better against one guy than it did against another. I think Bradley's going to need to kind of up his activity rate against Manny, even though he did seem to be more active in the first fight. And Pacquiao was doing that weird thing of really just fighting in spurts and only fighting, a minute a round. But he was, when he was throwing combinations, he was much more effective and he was landing all the clean punches. And that's why most of us thought that he won. So it's kind of like the combination of thinking that Bradley probably won't stray from his game plan that much. I mean, that's kind of essentially what he does. And thinking that maybe Pacquiao, I mean, he looked, obviously it's a much different opponent, but he at least looked, closer to his old self against Rios, just as far as like having the ability to fight every minute of the rounds. And if he can do that, you got to favor Pac. I mean, if you think it's going to be, a similar kind of, boxer version of Bradley against a Pacquiao who this time may be more active than he was in the first fight, because I think that's what killed him. There's stretches in those rounds where Pacquiao wasn't really doing anything, and Bradley was coming forward, throwing jab, boxing, not really accomplishing much, but just giving the appearance of somebody working. And, if Pacquiao's more active, and I think the first fight could play out again, only it'll be more decisive for Manny, and he'll get the decision.
Yeah, I tend to agree that might be what would happen, or, well, that would probably be what would happen. Quite simply, like you said, I thought that Manny won the first fight pretty clearly. I went back and I rewatched it and I double checked it, and there were a whole bunch of people like, go back and watch again and you'll see why Bradley won. And I'm like, yeah, I did go back and watch again, and I saw the same thing. I saw Manny beating him up in a lot of rounds. I mean, there were a handful of close rounds because Bradley fought his ass off and did, literally everything he could possibly do. But over the course of the fight, he kind of got beaten up a little bit. So that's what I saw, and because of that, if nothing else, I would favor Manny to beat him again. However, I would say that I think that Bradley probably has the best chance of the two of improving on his performance, because I think that he was a little bit more disciplined against Marquez than he was against Pacquiao, although, obviously, like you said, it was a style thing. Manny's, needless to say, more offensive, more relentless than Marquez is. But I think that he probably could do better, and also on top of that, he would at least be fighting, hopefully, with two good legs. Kind of tough to discount relatively serious like ankle fractures and ankle whatever it was, like dislocations and shit like that. So assuming he would be fighting with two good legs, I think he'd probably do better at least than last time.
Yeah, well, that, I mean, that's, yeah, that's the counter argument, I guess. I had kind of forgotten about his injuries, which he had for the last, like, half of that fight. The other thing I think going in his favor is that was really, you know, his first real mainstream exposure. I mean, his first time being involved in anything like that as far as the you know, magnitude of the event. And now, you know, not only has he gone through that and then the backlash of getting the decision, but he became, you know, a real, you know, boxing fan hero with his performance against Provodnikov, and then, you know, was involved in another pretty big pay-per-view against Marquez, which he won. So I think his confidence and his, you know, his mentality are probably going to be better than they were going into the first fight. And he's been in there, you know, he's been in the ring with Pacquiao. He knows what to expect. And I think Bradley is a really smart fighter with a good team that they will make good adjustments. So yeah, I mean, I think he could do better, but I don't know. I'm just, my gut is kind of just thinking that I think Pacquiao is just the superior fighter, and I don't think Bradley's kind of strengths are enough to neutralize Manny if he is at his best, you know? But it's so interesting. I mean, the whole thing with Bradley, Marquez, and Pacquiao is just such a perfect example of how styles make fights.
Yep.
Yeah, Marquez is always able to give Pacquiao, you know, a tough fight and just has the perfect style for him. Pacquiao, in most of our eyes, pretty easily outboxed Bradley, and he wasn't really – he didn't look great that night either because he was throwing, you know – He was only throwing a couple combinations and all that. And then he still, in most of our eyes, won like 9 or 10 rounds. And then, you know, Bradley does the same and beats Marquez. It's just, you know, that's
why there is no linear, you know, A beats B beats C, therefore A beats C type of arguments in boxing. It just doesn't work that way, you know, because one guy beat the other guy, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't even mean he'll beat him again next time. So we love boxing, even though we come on every week and talk shit about it. We love it.
Well, it's I'm glad that they're making this fight. I think it's actually the perfect fight for both guys.
Yeah, I hope that's what they go with. I mean, that's pretty much what his kind of, you know, floating through the grapevine and what seems to make sense to me anyway. So I don't really know exactly what they're going to do with Floyd or what the overall plan is, but I just hope it doesn't wind up sucking. That's all. I start feeling bad that I tell people, hey, you know, watch this fight or this card's going to be great or it's going to be huge or whatever. And how many times can I tell them that? And then it winds up sucking. They're starting to kind of get the hint now, James. They're like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to watch that shit because the last handful of times you told me to watch such and such, it fucking sucked. So
well, the good thing for Golden Boy, they've got such a deep stable. I mean, they can really stack the undercards. And so even a fight like, you know, if the Mayweather main event's not great, I mean, their chances are there'll be something good on the undercard.
That's true. That is true. Well, I wrote down some other, like, random news that was going on in boxing that I thought was either funny or ridiculous or pertinent or whatever. But, you know, yeah, I wanted to – I think that you had on previous shows spoken about old Tommy Gunn Oosthuizen, the South African light heavyweight. I think light heavyweight, right? Yeah, light heavyweight. man. This dude got injured in a bicycle accident or a
motorcycle
accident.
Yeah.
It wasn't really clear because when I had read the initial little report or whatever yesterday, it had said some unknown bike accident. So whatever.
Is he all right, by the way?
Anyway, well, I don't even know. The point is he got injured and then he had to get pulled from his fight on HBO that's coming up, I think this or. No, next weekend, I believe. Pascal Boutet. And then he got dropped by his promoter, Golden Gloves Promotions. So I just wanted to go ahead and, like, present that to you on a plate to see if you wanted to kick him while he's down.
Well, I don't want to kick the guy if he's in, like, a coma from a motorcycle accident. I mean, I don't know what is his condition here, you know?
No, I don't
because
know.
I saw that, and
I don't think
he's
in any, like, bad condition. I think that he's just, like, I think he's in bad condition, like he's out of shape. That
okay,
because
I didn't, from it. Maybe he wasn't even involved in a motorcycle accident. He just, like...
Well, yeah, I don't even know. The only thing that was, like, you know, made somewhat clear by the report was that his promoter was, or his, it was somebody who was, like, managing him or handling him or the person who was speaking for this promotional agency or whatever. I don't pay that close attention. Come on now. But they were saying he's blown so many chances. He keeps coming into camp, you know, overweight, and then he's, like, barely making weight, not training enough, and blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, I read
and
that,
so
too.
Apparently he had, yeah, like, he had done something bad, or he had, you know, acted a fool and crashed something, and now he's off of HBO Opportunity. So,
well,
yeah.
I saw that, sometimes. And then I saw somebody, you know, saying, like, you know, how many chances is he going to blow or whatever, and then somebody else was like, he's got more important things on his mind than that now, man, you know, like as if he was, like, on his deathbed or from the motorcycle accident. So that was why I refrained from mocking it, because somebody was kind of getting on the high horse, like, don't insult the man. He just,
dude,
like, broke his neck. So
serious injury has never stopped us before, man. Come on. Oh, maybe it has. I don't know. But whatever, dude. We need clicks.
Yeah. No, I mean, his last fight was against, like, that Virgil Hunter's guy, right? What's that guy's name? Was that against Ushuizen? Or am I thinking of some? Like, he was like...
Did you say Virgil Hunter?
Yeah. I think this was the fight where he was doing a lot of his whispering. But if
that was Brandon Gonzalez, I think. But I think, right?
Wasn't that's who it was. Wasn't that against?
But his last fight was against. I had to look it up because I don't remember and I don't remember seeing it or anything. But Ezekiel Maderna in South Africa was his last fight. But yeah, the Brandon Gonzalez fight, that was the one where he was whispering sweet nothings and shit.
Yeah, and that was a draw,
creature.
Right? That was, like, ended up being ruled a draw. And I thought Gonzalez got the better of it and really kind of exposed Tyson a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's too bad. It looked like kind of an intriguing fight against that Elider Alvarez. I know our boy Mark Ortega always kind of hypes up Alvarez as being, you know, the next great boxing's next great champion. So
yeah,
he was fighting Wes Tyson on HBO next weekend.
Yeah, I didn't even really, I hadn't been, like, following the promotion of that fight or anything like that. I just had seen the news about, you know, him basically getting the trifecta there, the motorcycle injury or bike injury, and then, you know, dropped off the show and then dropped by his promoter. I thought it was worth mentioning. I thought maybe you'd take that softball and hit it out of the park, but, you know, you had to,
I pretty much, you know, just dropped the
bat.
Yeah, you pushed
out
walked
that
away
one,
from
buddy.
My bad.
Well, do you have anything to say about Evander Holyfield, you know, not really feeling the gaze?
I saw that. I was reading about that this morning on Twitter. Why do we waste our lives reading about stuff like that?
I don't even know. I mean, my first reaction, because I don't know, I guess if you follow me on Twitter, you can probably tell I'm relatively liberal to the point of just, like, I don't really give a fuck about any of this stuff and don't understand why it's news. So, like, my first reaction is, like, what a fucking asshole. And then I think more about it, and I'm just like, wait, what? Why do I give a shit about what this guy is saying? And then, so I read a couple sentences about it, and it was something about Boy George really getting upset about something he had said on the show. And I'm like, wait a second. Boy George, the guy that was, like, fucking arrested for, like, getting a John Travolta massage by some dude and then, like, trying to, like, imprison some fucking sex slave guy. What? And I'm really reading about this and actually
going to
catch some actual feelings about this. Yeah, apparently. So,
damn, dude, you're destroying all my childhood heroes here.
That's what I'm saying, dude. So the answer when he was like, do you really want to hurt me? Yes. He wants to hurt you. It's bad. So,
well, it was pretty shocking.
It's crazy that this is news.
Evangelical Christian guy from the South isn't you know the model of tolerance.
It wasn't even remotely like Duck Dynasty guy either. Wasn't even close to that.
Yeah,
Evander
no,
I
read the
quote. It ain't
quotes.
Right.
I mean,
it ain't
gives a shit.
He basically was like, it's not natural, and that's like that was the extent of it. Like, all right, well, he's got his opinion.
I thought it was pretty funny that it was news, really. That was the funniest part about the story, that anybody really gave that big of a shit.
It was, you know what, it was the most offended that I've been since Freddie Roach's horrifying anti-Semitic rant directed at Elie Sekbak.
Oh, dude, and he still works in boxing. Can you believe that?
I know.
He still works in the sport.
He's an embarrassment. He really is.
Freaking Panama Lewis, dude.
I hope somebody kicks him in his chest. Oh, wait, that already happened.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Okay, well then, I have another couple more just because I thought that they were funny. Well, the first one's not that funny, but I read about it and, you know, chuckled.
Well, based on your first humorous thing was Tommy Oosthuizen, like, you know, becoming quadriplegic from a motorcycle accident, so... Continue with
I'm
your
fucking
your,
sick. What
your
you,
humor.
I'm fucking sick. You know, yeah, I'm fucking sick here. What do you want me to do? So Johnny Gonzalez versus Abner Morris, too, was postponed because supposedly Abner Morris, he got a rib injury or some type of injury sparring, or so they said. And so whatever it was, I think 3 or 4 days ago when it was initially postponed, there was a little short little news story on Boxing Scene that had said that somebody in the camp that he supposedly had gone to train had said he never showed up for camp and that he was never sparring and that he's lying about getting injured sparring. And so then that sparked this whole thing about, oh, well then it means that, you know, he needed more time to train and he's not injured and blah, blah, blah. I thought it was a nice little conspiracy theory going on. Maybe it was. Maybe it's just because I liked the result of the first fight because I'm a Johnny Gonzalez fanboy.
You did legally changed your name to. We put an H behind the P in Patrick, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think that's what we had decided on.
Yeah, that wasn't. It was a good play.
Well, it's a fucking bummer that it got postponed in the first place because, you know,
yeah,
I was looking forward
yeah.
to it. I think a lot of people were because that was kind of like the first bigger fight of this year, you know, that seemed to be that was going to be the, well, unless you count Jean Pascal versus Lucien Boutte, but that's,
no,
I don't really
no,
feel like
that's
got a huge U.S. audience attached to it. That's more of a kind of a, you know, big fight in Canada type of thing. So, Gonzalez Mares seemed to be the first bigger fight of the U.S. anyway, so it's a bummer that it got postponed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm bummed.
I was disappointed, too. I mean, it did look like one of the good ones on the early schedule, because there's not a lot going on, but until March, it looked like.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to try to...
In terms of major fight, I mean, we only really, you know, really enjoy fights with pound-for-pound implications.
Oh, yeah, if it's not pound for pound, we don't give a shit. That's
no.
pretty much how it goes.
No, we watched Friday Night Fights because we were scouting Barthelemy for our top 50 pound for pound. But
yeah, he's on the edge of, like, my 63.
This
something
seems
like
a
that,
reason. Yeah, it seems reasonable.
I mean, it's up for debate, though. I got to consult the Boxing Writers Association.
We'll hash
America.
It over at the next meeting. The secret.
Oh, yeah,
meeting.
Well, we got it going on in Cancun. Next weekend, so we'll talk about it then. All right, so I got one more little news tidbit because I read this literally like right before we started, and I just sat there looking at it like, what the fuck? Oh, I don't even know how to put this. All right, so Johnny Tapia, who somewhat recently passed away tragically after having pretty much about as fucked up of a life as you can think, as you can possibly imagine. I mean, if they ever make that dude's life into a movie, I just don't know if I can ever go watch it because it's got to be so depressing. I feel so bad for that guy. Anyway, he passed away, and his wife, Teresa Tapia, who had helped him manage, who had helped manage his career, his, pretty much throughout his career, and became somewhat famous for it herself, apparently she married Johnny Tapia's half-brother who just got out of prison. And, I mean, whatever, that she married some guy, well, his half-brother, but her reasoning was that she had to carry on Johnny's legacy by marrying his half-brother. So that's not weird at all.
That's cool.
It's creepy. I'm freaking out about it.
Oh, well, maybe they were having an affair the whole time. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I would buy that. It's, I don't know. That you could file that under, I don't know why that's news also, but I just,
Yeah, what was this stuff on Boxing Scene?
This was actually on Fight News. Oh. Like, I was just kind of scrolling through real quick because I was like, all right, now what did I miss in the news? Because, you know, I pay attention to the news or whatever, but...
Well, you got to stay up on the latest.
Well, I pay attention to, like, boxing news, like, you know, this fight got made or this guy is with this promoter now or whatever, you know, somewhat major developments. I normally don't read into this type of shit, but it caught my eye, and when I saw it, I was like, what the fuck? Half-brother.
We'll have to wait for the movie to find out what was going on
there.
That's
a good point. That's a good point. Maybe they'll weave that into the storyline somewhere, and I think they are making a movie. Oh, fuck.
They got the Gotti movie coming out. Gary Ferreira.
Are you serious?
Or is that the guy's name? Yeah, the dude from Entourage.
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe they
These are the type of things that... These fall through the cracks with me. Like, I don't even... You know, unless somebody, like, specifically points it out to me, usually I'm like, what?
Or Jerry Ferrara. Best known for his work as Turtle. Yeah.
Wow. All right, then.
I was going to say maybe they could get E to play Tapia. That make sense.
Why not just get his half-brother?
Yeah, exactly. His half-brother could play him.
Just be a natural.
That's bizarre.
Oh, fuck.
Well, do you have time for a couple quick items I've seen on my scrolling ticker of headlines, boxing headlines?
Hell yeah. I made this show an hour and a half just in case.
Oh, sweet.
So we have time, and yeah, whatever.
Well, two other ones that maybe we could get a quick discussion on that are kind of, you know, going on this year, things to look forward to, is the Canelo fighting Angulo in March.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to write that down. Yes.
The fuck, dude? You're writing down topping his half-brother, banging his wife,
me?
And the, you
oh,
overlooked
Jesus.
Some...
What the fuck is wrong with me? I don't know what's wrong with me. Yeah, I mean, that should have been my top priority, Canelo and Canelo. I screwed the fucking pooch on that one. Yeah, there's a large part of me when I saw that fight was finalized that kind of thought, oh, well, great, because Angulo's the type of guy that's probably going to be able to force Canelo to fight outside of his style a little bit and be a little less conservative, you know. But on the other hand, you know, we had just Angulo just reminds me so much of a guy like Jesus Soto Caras, even though he hasn't really quite gone down that road of being more of a, you know, leaning towards journeyman yet. But he's got such a hard head. And he punches hard, but he's so slow of foot, and he follows a lot that he gets hit a lot. And so I kind of worry about getting in with a guy that has the ability to hit him a lot. And I wonder how long his career is really going to be. But anyway, as far as that fight goes, I think it's a good fight. I want to see it.
Yeah, I'm into it too. It was a fight that had kind of been criticized, like when it was first discussed, like maybe a year ago. Because again, people were saying like, "Oh, they're gonna feed him Angulo when Canelo should be fighting Lara." But I guess now that Canelo's lost to Floyd, it's kind of like more acceptable. But I mean, I would have had a problem with it. I mean, Angulo, I think, showed against Lara that he's still capable of at least giving a really tough fight to the best guys in the division, and I think that's probably exactly what's going to happen. I mean, but at the same time, there's questions of how much did that fight take out of Angulo against Lara. I think he might have fought once since then, but it wasn't against like a real, high caliber opponent. Did he fight once since then? Do you have that computer in front of you? Look this up.
I do, actually, and I'm pretty sure he did.
Well,
I remember he had one return
fight.
Well, that eye against Lara, first of all, was bad, but no, he hasn't fought since then.
Oh, he hasn't? Okay.
And hasn't. And I think that actually it was because of his eye. Like, he had an orbital fracture or something like that. Well, in any event, I was there, and his eye looked just horrible ringside. Of course, here, now I click on the little link and it says the later test showed no fracture. But regardless, his eye looked like shit. And so he hasn't fought since, and I think that that's also potentially an issue, is the inactivity. Over the last few years he's been inactive. It's kind of been out of his control, of course, being detained on citizenship for, I think it was like a year and a half. Regardless, yeah, I think the deck's kind of stacked against him just a little bit in the fight, although his power always could bail him out a little bit.
Yeah, it seems clear that, I mean, the design is for Canelo to win, obviously. But, if Angulo comes to the fight, that's basically the same guy that went in there against Lara, that's a pretty worthy challenge to come back from a loss and kind of get yourself back in the, in the mix of the top guys at 154. I mean, it is kind of obvious, amongst the top fighters there, he did take the risk fighting Trout when Trout was still undefeated, and Trout was kind of like, a boxer, not necessarily that tricky. But the other two guys there are both, Carlos Molina and Arislandi Lara, both, stylistically, aesthetically, not always appealing, not the kind of guys that would necessarily bring out a good fight from Canelo. And, there is some likelihood that both of those guys could actually frustrate Canelo a lot and beat him, So I think that Angulo is kind of a safe pick, but you do hope that if he does get past Angulo, which he should be a favorite there, that then he will fight one of those two guys. And I think I read that Lara Molina, the rematch of their fight is on the undercard, which makes sense because it did seem like Golden Boy was just kind of trying to basically like Lara fight Trout and Lara fight Molina, and let's get rid of, let's just have one guy who's going to be tough to like match, make matches for.
Yeah.
And who we're going to have to, steer Canelo clear of.
Yeah, I mean, I would be highly impressed if Canelo wound up taking on more than one of those guys. But yeah, there's a handful of options there for him. I would say that as far as Canelo Angulo goes, it's almost kind of a crossroads type of fight, except for, if Canelo winds up beating up Angulo, I think that Angulo is probably going to have to kind of take a little while to decide what exactly he's going to do in the sport. But also, if he winds up winning, I can't imagine Angulo would wind up winning by decision. He would probably knock Canelo out. And if that's the case, shit, I think that they need to also kind of take a step back with Canelo and say, well, damn, maybe we need more development. Regardless, it's an interesting fight. And if nothing else, like I said, Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you said it exactly right. You know, if Angulo loses to Canelo, and, you know, you imagine that would be, you know, it could be a points decision where Canelo outboxes him, or maybe he actually does start, you know, landing a lot of combinations and ends up, like, TKOing him. I couldn't really see him, you know, one punch knocking out Angulo, but I guess, you know, a sustained beating is possible. Something like that, yeah, Angulo's pretty much done from the top level of fighters at 154, and probably would need to, you know, take some time off and reevaluate whether he wanted to continue at all, because he wouldn't be fighting, you know, against top guys in the division. He wouldn't be fighting, you know, marquee television spots anymore. But if Angulo wins, like you said, it would probably be, you know, he would probably either knock out or beat the shit out of Canelo if he somehow wins the fight. I mean, that's what he's going to have to do. That's the type of fight he's going to have to turn into. And if Canelo loses that after getting basically shut out by Mayweather, I mean, I think it's a huge step back for him. Yeah, I think his popularity and his, you know, his stature, yeah, I think it would be in a lot of jeopardy. I mean, he you know, you can't. Losing to Mayweather was kind of excusable, but
yeah.
If he loses to Angulo, just because, like you said, the nature of it would likely be some kind of a beating, I mean, it's going to be hard for him to kind of rebuild into what he was.
It would sure kind of put that Mayweather-Canelo fight into a weird perspective, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
That would, I mean, it wouldn't take away the sales and the numbers that the fight did, but It would certainly, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, and I get it, but it would certainly kind of make that matchup look a little less shiny in hindsight,
well,
if that happened.
Like we said, how that win gets perceived for Mayweather in terms of his legacy is going to depend on what Canelo does for the rest of his career.
For sure.
If Canelo flames out and gets knocked out by Angulo and never really makes it back to the top of the sport again, then it's not really a significant win. No matter what the record
then that means,
showed.
Well, then that means that Floyd Mayweather is probably in top, like, 432 all time, you know, so, and nobody wants to be there.
Right. He's a... Don't mention his historical ranking. That was kind of a sensitive subject for some people.
Yeah, a little bit. Top 30.
Oh, dude, also
top
wanted
30.
To get your take on the Sergio Cotto looking like that's going to happen.
Man, there's so much diva shit being thrown around about the negotiations of that fight. Yeah, that's definitely worth touching on. I was just reading a little bit ago. Why didn't I fucking write this down? Why am I writing down this Tapia shit and I'm not writing down the accent? What's wrong with me?
Yeah, if you want to talk about weird incestuous relationships, talk about Cotto's kids. No,
yeah,
come on, I'm kidding.
Bam! Oh, that hurt.
Yeah, that was
fucked up.
Show
just got canceled. That hurt. Oh, they just called the fucking FCC on us. Yeah, I mean, it's just two effeminate guys going at it.
Hey,
like
stop talking about Cotto's kids.
Sorry.
Right? We thought we were going past.
My bad. Aye.
24/7.
That's hilarious.
Strange, you know.
I mean, I like the fight, and I think that it's probably the smart thing for Cotto to do because it sounded like it was between taking on Martinez and taking on Canelo. I mean, that's how you know that Cotto's got pull, when those are his two options. You know, when it's like, you know, I might take on the lineal middleweight champion. I might take on the dude who just made, you know, 10 mil fighting Floyd Mayweather. Whatever, you know, I'll decide tomorrow. It's whatever. That's how you know that Cotto is commanding money.
Yeah.
But I was reading earlier that that Cotto was trying to demand that he come out last of the closet, not of the ring walk, of the closet. But no, I was reading that he wanted to do the walkout last, which is typically a champion thing. So a couple weeks ago, Sergio Martinez was saying something like, you know, we can fight, but I will not be dictated to. But he's done a lot of dictating in his life, if you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Little
no,
Holyfield,
both of these guys.
Here. Little Holyfield. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. This is. Yeah, I think it's awesome that, you know, Cotto has gotten himself in a position where he's just so popular. It doesn't matter that, you know, he lost. He gave Mayweather a better fight than any of the other guys in the last few years. And that's kind of launched him back into, you know, basically, and that and avenging his Margarito win, I guess, has kind of made him, you know, put him back. I mean, even losing to Austin Trout, it didn't really hurt his, you know, popularity, and this kind of proves it. You know, he's still a big name out there for all those guys in those weight areas. And I mean, I was kind of surprised that he didn't take the fight against Canelo, which I think would have been a bigger money fight and kind of made more sense just in terms of all the dynamics that would have been at play. And you know, two of the best guys in the division coming off losses, but, you know, a classic crossroads fight with an older fighter in Cotto and then the young guy, you know, desperate to prove himself again in Canelo. And, of course, the Mexican-Puerto Rican. I mean, it was just such a natural, huge fight. And, I mean, I guess that could still happen here, if, you know, sometime down the road if Cotto can get past Martinez, or as long as he doesn't, you know, lose in you know, real humiliating kind of fashion. So, I mean, I think it's really interesting that he's going for the Martinez fight, because it just seems to me like, you know, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, mysteries about what Martinez has left and, you know, where he's at with all of his injuries and things like that and not looking great in the last fight. But let's not forget, Martinez just, you know, he's fighting Martin Murray, who's a top 10 legit middleweight. I mean, Cotto just blew out Delvin Rodriguez, who's not really on that level of fighter in terms of being one of the best in the division. Martinez is still, you know, been fighting bigger guys, and you would think still has some power and some speed and should be a pretty heavy favorite.
Well, I think that of the two fights, the Canelo fight's probably the more winnable one. I mean, that's just kind of my feeling on it. I think that, in fact, I would probably favor Cotto in that fight, at least, you know, for my part. But I think that taking on Martinez is probably the smart thing, because I think that the Canelo fight will be there for him no matter what. I think that even if he loses to Martinez, he's still going to have a big following and still going to have a lot of money, you know, unless he gets absolutely just, you know, slumped. I don't think that fight will not be viable later on. So, and in the meantime, you know, if he were able to actually beat Martinez, and I think there is kind of a question of, like we've said before on the show, how much Martinez has deteriorated in the last maybe year and a half, especially with the knee injury or injuries. So, I mean, there's, I guess, at least a chance there for Cotto to step in and become the middleweight champion, and then if that were to happen, then that makes a potential Canelo fight or even a Floyd rematch all the more huge.
Yeah, and you know, I would just hate to see that happen. I mean, I'm definitely excited for Cotto Martinez, just having followed both guys, and you know, seeing two older fighters kind of ending up, you know, their paths converging here. I mean, I think it's pretty interesting, but I just feel like the best Martinez beats Cotto pretty much every day, and some of that is because he is a bigger man, but a lot of it's just speed and style and the way he can, and, you know, punching. I just don't see, you know, Cotto at his best being able to contend with Martinez at his best, and so I think that, you know, it would be unfortunate if Cotto is able to beat Sergio. I do think it would probably be, you know, just as much of what Sergio, you know, doesn't have left as kind of, you know, what Cotto is able to accomplish. So it would be, to me, it would be kind of unfortunate if Cotto can kind of steal the middleweight crown in that way and then Floyd go up and rematch Cotto for it. You know, I don't mind Cotto.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd be happy for Cotto to become the middleweight champ. I just think it's like the cheapest possible way. You know, for the last like couple of years, the talk has been, you know, the biggest thing Mayweather could do for his legacy is to go up and win the middleweight championship. And it's not to criticize him if he doesn't. It's just that many great fighters before him who were great welterweights, even great lightweights, ended up moving up and fighting at 160, or at least taking one fight and fighting the champion there. You know, so it would be a great historical move for him. But we wanted to see him fighting, you know, a somewhat prime Martinez, or you know, maybe the next generation it'll be Golovkin. But we want to see him fight, like, the best middleweight. And I just think, you know, if Cotto can beat him and then, like, Golovkin gets out of the picture and then all of a sudden Golden Boy has the legitimate middleweight champ, you know, he fights Mayweather and then Mayweather wins the legit middleweight championship. It's just, like, it just creates this whole clusterfuck of, like, where, you know, a guy like Gennady Golovkin might be the best fighter in the division but might never have the chance to fight for the actual title.
No, I agree. I think that it would be kind of – it would be a little deflating, you know, if that's what wound up happening. I mean, I love Miguel Cotto, and I'd be rooting for him, and if he won, I'd be really happy for him as a fan especially. But, yeah, to know that there's the potential of Floyd essentially cherry-picking that title away from Cotto, yeah, that would be kind of lame. But from a business perspective, that's a big opportunity, especially for Floyd and or Golden Boy. So, you know, whatever. I could see that that's why they would do it.
Well, I mean, how would you see it going? Because, like, I'm basically just making that pick with Martinez. Just if you look at what Pacquiao was able to do to Cotto, and probably not the best version of Cotto, but even going back to, like, Cotto and Mosley and thinking about how much bigger Martinez is and the awkwardness and the angles and, most importantly, like, how quick he is. And the
and
fact
speed
that he can punch,
too, yeah, exactly.
He can punch and hit you with shots you don't see coming, and Cotto has shown that propensity to be hurt, especially from those type of shots, which, you know, in fairness, hurt most fighters. I think you have to favor, like, the best Martinez against the best Cotto, which just means that in this match, it's kind of like we're not getting the best versions, but we are getting, you know, the guys, and you know, they're going to fight it out, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. But to attach that kind of significance to it, for Martinez to kind of risk that championship in this kind of, like, you know, it is more of a gimmick fight. I mean, it's a fight between two big names. It's not really like the, you know, it's the middleweight champ against his number one challenger. You know, it's kind of a cross-divisional matchup between two kind of, you know, stars.
No, it's because Cotto brings money. It wouldn't be happening if Cotto didn't bring money. Yeah,
so I mean, I'm just because of the personalities and the styles, and I also think that, you know, Cotto should be able to hold his own because Martinez does have a ton of question marks. So just all the intrigue with it. I mean, I'm honestly probably looking forward to that as much as any fight so far this year. You know, even including like Pacquiao Bradley too. I mean, in terms of just the combination of, like, I want to find out what's going to happen, and I'm not really sure what's going to happen. You know, I want just – those are the two fights. And there's real significance in both matchups depending on who wins.
You know, I think that if you were to take the Miguel Cotto that fought at 140 pounds and take that style, this where he was a little bit more of a grinder who went to the body real hard, and then, you know, give him the better sturdiness that he had at 147 – and, you know, magically make that fighter about 158 pounds, I'd give him a really good shot of upsetting Sergio Martinez. But as is, I think that even though Sergio Martinez isn't a huge middleweight, I think that the way that he punches is like a middleweight. I think that he's got good hand speed. Even with kind of iffy legs, he's probably still quicker than Miguel Cotto. So I think that at the end of the day, you got to favor Sergio Martinez, and that's who I'd probably wind up picking. I'm just saying that with, you know, potential deterioration of Martinez and the fact that Miguel Cotto is a really good fighter, you know, I think that there's a slight opening there for Cotto to do something. But it also, like I said, will depend on how diminished Martinez is, if he is, and I'm imagining he probably is. So if it winds up that he really is, then we could see something pretty interesting. But I have a feeling that it's not, and that he'd win.
Well, Martinez's style is like the classic one that just completely deteriorates with age, you know, and fighters just become shells of themselves because he's so reliant on his legs and his movement, you know. But it's at the same time, I just think in this case, you know, even if Martinez just basically, you know, is forced to stand flat-footed and just trades with Miguel, I still kind of think he has the advantage because of his hand speed and his power. And I also think he's less fragile. You know, even though Martinez has gone down in a bunch of fights, most of the time it's because of his weird, like, style and his balance, and he's jumping around the ring and he gets hit when he's, like, not, you know, he doesn't have his balance. I've only seen him like really hurt, I think, in that last minute against Chavez Jr. And even then, I mean, he recovered pretty well and was still standing there throwing punches. And Chavez Jr. is like 190 pounds. So Cotto, I just would favor Martinez, you know. But it's really intriguing though. I mean, I think there's a chance like that Cotto maybe can land something and hurt him and you know completely change the fight. And if Cotto blows away Martinez in three rounds, becomes the legit middleweight champ, it's you know yeah, there's gonna be he will have his pick of you know potential suitors. I mean, everyone in the division and below will want to move up there and fight for that.
Yeah, for sure. Although I would hope that if that happened, that he would take on somebody like Golovkin before really jumping right in with Floyd, but I highly doubt that would happen.
He's not going to fight Golovkin, dude. No way.
I know, but I got to throw it out there. And come on, I know he listens. I know that he'll accept my request for that. Please. No, it ain't going to happen. But you know,
if Sergio wins, he may fight Golovkin.
I hope so.
I think
I hope so. I mean, I think that if he wins this fight and then wants to seriously take himself serious as a middleweight champion, I think that's a fight he's got to take.
Yeah, and I wonder
I don't see any way around that.
Let's say if Martinez Cotto is kind of like a more tactical fight and there's you know nobody really gets hurt or knocked out and Sergio wins on points or something, I wonder if again Floyd wouldn't look at that fight as a possibility if he could somehow get Sergio to come over to Showtime, because that's another one that you know it would be pretty huge. I mean, it'd be a lot bigger than most of Floyd's potential fights, and he'd still have the chance for the legacy of going to middleweight. And I think against the guy with Martinez's style and the fact that he's kind of diminished in his legs, it looks like a winnable fight for Floyd.
Yeah, I wouldn't count him out of that fight, although I think it might be interesting to see what would happen if Floyd got nailed clean.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with one of those shots, but I definitely wouldn't count him out. Well, it's Floyd. I wouldn't count him out of just about any fight, really. Yeah.
No, can't you can't. You can't count the man out.
No. Best fighter ever.
I think TBE.
And you know how he got there? Hard work, dedication.
How?
Hard work, dedication.
Oh yeah, that's right. No, he is a great fighter. It's just that, like, you know, now he's in the twilight of his career. He's got a few fights left. I'd love to see him fight some fighters who could present him a challenge and also, you know, just make another big event. I mean, the Canelo event was a lot of fun, even though the fight didn't deliver. It was cool just to see boxing, like, take that place on the kind of the mainstream stage again, you know, where you know, it's usually one time a year. But, I mean, the last event, I mean, that was definitely bigger than the average fight, you know, and you could really feel that, like, the whole sports world was kind of looking forward to it. And, you know, there are a couple opponents, I think, that Floyd that could recreate that for Floyd. And it's just a matter of, you know, is he going to kind of force those fights to happen?
Well, ultimately, it is on him. I mean, we can go on and on about who deserves blame for this or this fight didn't happen or whatever the case may be. But ultimately, if he wants to boast that he has the most money and the most power, which he pretty much does, then I think that also means that a lot of these fights are really on him. He's such just a gravitational force in the sport of boxing that even when a fight isn't possible or isn't probable, guys will still like clear their schedules just in case they get that chance. You know, they'll hold out for that fight even if it's not even remotely possible. And so in some ways that's good because he has that much influence, and in other ways it's bad. In other ways, it makes guys not want to risk that shot, and it makes guys, you know, hold out or feel that their worth is higher than it actually is and things like that. So, yeah, well, I guess we'll see what he winds up doing, but ball's kind of in his court on that one.
Yeah, Yeah, and I mean, it's just like, you know, Oscar De La Hoya and Richard Schaefer, they're not telling Floyd who to fight. You know, he's clearly responsible for his opponents. And, you know, I think we'll see some good ones by the end of the run. It just looks like this May won't be it.
Yeah, probably not.
But, you know, you stack up the undercard, you get throw Amir Khan out there, let him throw a few combinations, make it exciting for a couple rounds, and then, you know, maybe Floyd will score a spectacular knockout and we'll come away thinking, all right, and maybe put Ortiz on the undercard. He set up the rematch, the Sucker Punch rematch for September.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all broken recorded, but I'm cool with those fights. I'm cool with those fights if it's, you know, him fighting three times a year or something. But when he fought in September and then doesn't fight again until May, I can't get into that, you know. To me, that, like, I mean, I'm with you.
Khan
it
just
doesn't really matter. We can just fucking accept it. And hopefully Amir Khan does, you know, something. Hopefully he doesn't just totally get knocked clean out in, like, the second round or something like that, which is a real possibility with him. But,
dude, the fucked up thing, I might be more down with Khan than, like, any of those other guys, you know, except, like, Sean Porter, Keith Thurman, any of those guys. Or, you know, I mean, maybe I'd rather see Danny Garcia get the shot. But if any of the other, like, Golden Boy welterweights, I mean, yeah, I guess, like, in terms of, like, an actual stylistic fight, I'm okay with it. But in terms of, like, deserving opponent and actually winning fights to earn the shot, Khan is, like, at the bottom of the list. That's what's so weird about it. It's like all the shit Floyd talks about, like, this guy's leftovers and this guy's coming off a loss and blah, blah, blah. Like, all you have to do is just look at Khan's recent resume. You know, and his last good win was over there when he knocked out Zab Judah, who since then has lost twice to, you know, Malignaggi and Danny Garcia. I mean, it's the whole, like, lineage of those guys. It's all losses. The only one who came out of that with all wins was Danny Garcia, since they all fought each other this, you know, the last couple of years. So I just don't understand how Khan gets the shot, but I guess, like, in terms of style, in terms of, like, a guy, you know, a cocky guy who's going to, like, make it a fun fight for a bit, and, you know, Khan's not that bad.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter whether we like it or not.
I mean, it's either going to happen or not.
Like, that's what we're going to get. So, yeah. Okay. Fucking whatever.
I'd rather have that and then do something like Marcos Maidana against Keith Thurman, to be honest, than have Maidana fight Floyd right now.
Yeah, I do also feel like, you know, we can use another little bang up from Maidana before he's given that fight. Not that he, like, doesn't deserve it or he needs to test himself further or anything like that, but yeah, that is kind of the feeling that I get too, is that we need to see him win against somebody with, like, a more similar attributes or something like that to Floyd Mayweather before he really gets in there with that one.
I was just thinking it'd be fun for him to just knock out a few other Golden Boy prospects.
That too. That too.
Floyd
beats that too. Yeah, that too.
All right, Broham.
Well,
this was epic.
Let's shut this down. Yeah. Well, it was the first show of 2014. You know, we did our best. I think Foley's actually, if anybody's ever seen that 1982 John Carpenter version of The Thing, I think that's pretty much what Foley's living like right now. He's fucking North Pole outside where he is. So you guys should commend him for getting on this show. I'm just saying, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, it was.
So yeah, it was our first show of 2014, and we'll have better stuff coming on in the next few shows, in the next coming weeks and stuff like that, just because there's better boxing on. So everybody who tuned in, thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week to talk about more stuff. And check out Bad Left Hook, where James writes for, and QueensburyRules.com, where I write for. All right? Take it easy. Thank you.